Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Turn out on Thursday, May 29th at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie for an evening of film, music, and sounds with proceeds benefiting WGXC. Wave Farm presents the groundbreaking generative documentary Eno in a four-screen presentation for the first time with director Gary Huswit live rendering screen one. Musical performances by Fred Frith and Yuka D-Mix will take place as the sun sets on the rooftop stage, and Sanjiro will provide interstitial sounds throughout the evening. Tickets available at wavefarm.org/drive-in.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Catherine of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Specifically, every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m., broadcasting from the Catskill Main Street studio. Excited to be here. Before we get into our theme for tonight, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters in our area. Right now, at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York, we have Lilo and Stitch, the new one, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and Thunderbolts. If you want, you can find out more by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's WIndham Theater.com.
Staying on that side of the river, let me tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. On screen one, we have Lilo and Stitch and Thunderbolts. On screen two, we have Karate Kid Legends and Rush Hour. On screen three, we have Final Destination Bloodlines and Bring Her Back. And screen four is, don't worry, it's just Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. And if you're interested in any more information about those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at highwaydrivein.com. That's H-I-W-A-Y, drivein.com. I'm so sorry. It's highwaydrivein.ny.com.
Oh.
Excuse me. My deepest apologies. H-I-W-A-Y, drivein.ny.com.
Amazing. All right, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen in Hudson on Fairview Avenue. That is the three-screen theater that's by the Burger King. Now playing Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, Lilo and Stitch, and Final Destination Bloodlines, as well as a bunch of extremely fun repertory screenings. We have Paris is Burning, a mystery movie on June 9th, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, and Liar Liar. You can find out more by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, sticking around in Hudson, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. This weekend, we have Michelangelo, Love and Death, Caught by the Tides, Heartworn Highways, and The Shrouds. And if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
All right, last but not least, for my list of theaters, I have the Spotlight Theater, also on Fairview Avenue in Hudson. That's the 8-screen theater. We have a whole bunch of movies. The Last Rodeo, Lilo and Stitch, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, Final Destination Bloodlines, Hurry Up Tomorrow, Thunderbolts, The Accountant 2, A Minecraft Movie, Sinners, Karate Kid Legends. That's it for right now. If you want to find out so many, if you want to find out more about showtimes and anything else playing, you can go to spotlighttheater.com and select the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
All right, and now last for me, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have The Italian Job, the original from the 60s, Care and Feeding with author Lori Wollever and Ruth Reichel, October 8th, When Fall is Coming, Pride and Prejudice 2005, it's the re-release, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, Friendship, Caught by the Tides, Conduct with a talkback with David Weir and Imogen Sarah Smith, as well as the Studio X Student Showcase. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have How Soon Was Now? The Smiths 40 Years On, Secret Mall Apartment, Sinners, Lilo and Stitch, Is Blotto the Movie? Close-up with director Rob Lichter and star Paul Rapp, Dead Ringers, This is a Film About the Black Keys, Possession, Festival Express, and ND Live, I assume National Theater Live, A Streetcar Named Desire. There's a lot going on over there. So if you want to know any more information about any of these movies or interesting shows, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing.
Wow. Oh. Wild. A wild time.
All right, you guys. So we have a really exciting guest here in the studio tonight. We have our beloved friend, Chuck.
Hello.
Yeah.
Chuck. Yeah. Chuck's here.
Chuck, thank you so much for being here tonight.
I'm very excited to be here on my favorite radio show with my two favorite people.
Oh, we're so lucky. We're so lucky to have you.
Talking about some of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason that we had to have Chuck on tonight was Chuck famously has a favorite movie, but it's actually 8 favorite movies.
Seven, that's called.
Oh, is it?
Well, no, there are 8 of them. I don't.
It's like, oh, you just. Oh, wow. Okay. Strong take coming out the gate.
I mean, the suspense is killing me still. What movies are these?
We're talking about the Mission Impossible movies.
Wow. Tonight. We're so lucky.
Very exciting. We all just went to see The Final Reckoning in the theater.
At Story Screen.
And my Lord. Did I have an amazing time?
You had an amazing time.
Yeah, you really did.
I cried when the credits rolled, not because of, out of a sad scene, just because I was so thrilled that my body didn't know what else to do and all my little brain wires were firing. And I said out loud, "You guys, I think I'm going to cry." And then I started crying. Ellen chewed her fingernails off.
It's true. I mean, our endorphins were running. I do remember a moment where I was like, my pulse is really high. I need to, like, calm down. It's time for me to take some deep breaths and, like, sit back in my seat a little bit.
I know. They always do, like, the audience reaction cam for things like a new Paranormal Activity movie. But I want to see it for something like this.
Oh, they should have been doing it during the marketing campaign for Final Reckoning. My mouth was agape.
I mean, just looking down our little row of friends during the, there was a couple times where I looked to my left and right and everyone was just like hands on the, like, Macaulay Culkin Home Alone face, jaw on the floor.
Truly. It was an experience. And what
were,
a great
Were you
time.
Not all holding hands for portions?
There was a moment where Amanda kept, I didn't realize what you were doing for a while.
I kept reaching over. I needed support.
Well, it looked like you were almost doing, like, little, like animal hands. Like, you had, like, your little paws up. And I was like, what is she doing? And then I realized that you wanted to hold her hands. And then you squeezed my hand so hard. I was like, oh. I don't know how I didn't figure this out immediately.
These all might seem like deterrents, but we had an amazing time.
Yeah, that being said, it was
this
incredible.
Movie was fantastic.
Are you a thrill seeker? Then I think you're gonna have a great time.
Yeah, it's it really did feel like being on a ride for 3 hours.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. So also we had an amazing time at the new and seemingly final installment
The final.
But
reckoning.
We've also been rewatching some of the older ones. Right.
So true.
It has the word final in the title and it seems so final to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. And so it's a good occasion to go through the entire 30-year series.
It's time to reflect. I mean, that's what is so nice about when a movie comes out that's part of a long legacy is like the treat of rewatching all of the movies that came before it. And you're like, ooh, an excuse to go through and watch every single one.
Yeah.
Delicious. I mean, we did this last year with Alien, you know?
It's true. Well, it is also funny to think about, like you say, okay, so it's been in our lives for 30 years and it's been with this, like, I'm trying to think of other franchises where there's been the same lead actor plus other supporting actors through all of them. Because Vin Rames is in all
He's
of them.
He's also in all of them, yeah.
He's in all of them.
Yeah, right. It's just Tom and Ving.
I don't know. Is Ving Rames in two? Can anyone confirm?
You rewatched
I can
two.
Confirm.
Okay. Is he in two?
He is.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
he's in
all
two.
Of them. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
because he's in one.
Which is just, I mean, first of all, I want to applaud that feat alone. Like, you would, I mean, not to bring up a soiled franchise, but I guess like the Harry Potter movies, everyone's Ooh. The same, but they're all made in what, 9 years?
It's true. Yeah. They came together so, much faster.
These are not in the same category.
No, they're not at all. They're not at all.
I did see a tweet and I did not verify it. I did not read into it at all. That was essentially part of the reason why Tom Cruise was a force for including Ving Rhames in every movie. It was because when they were filming the first one, Ving Rhames to him was like, it's very rare for a black character to like be in a movie this size and also survive to the end. And also, it's hard to like maintain that kind of work. And so according to this tweet, Tom Cruise went out of his way to make sure that Ving Rhames would be included. And like, an important character.
I brought some notes.
Yes.
I didn't prepare, but we knew that you would. So I learned that Tom Cruise, who has never won an Academy Award, but has won three Golden Globes, in the year 2021, returned the Golden Globes when it was revealed that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association had no black members.
Okay,
I just his Golden Globes.
Love him.
Was this smear campaign against Tom Cruise? I mean, okay, yeah, whatever. He's a Scientologist.
Yeah. We're but
like,
the Scientology
was this like an inside job? Was this a Hollywood blacklisting
like
situation?
It does feel like there's something related to like the like everything from the Oprah couch incident onward feels like it's been, I don't know, like a really insane press tour.
Well, and I guess the whole thing has been like this guy's crazy.
Yeah, totally.
But it
doesn't seem. He's passionate.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel. I'm like, I mean, he's jumping on that couch because he's in love, right?
Yeah.
With Katie Holmes at the time.
Yeah. Guys, acting is crazy.
Acting is so crazy.
Like, and people method act. They stay in character for months sometimes. And I was, you know, I've been excited to talk to both of you about your relationships with Tom Cruise over the course of your lives.
Absolutely.
Well, like, I was thinking about mine as well, and I think that the original Mission Impossible might be the first Tom Cruise movie that I ever saw.
That makes sense.
I think that's correct for me, too, because it was really exciting to rewatch it. So that between the three of us, we rewatched pretty much the whole series. I missed a lot in this rewatch leading up to the show. It will continue after this show. But I did, Jenny and I were recently, we have been not on the air recently because we were in LA for work. And we watched the movie Body Double, the Brian De Palma movie in LA, because it's a beloved movie to both of us. And it's a perfect LA movie.
Yes.
And then there was another night that I was there that I was like, ooh, what do I want to get cozy and watch? It's another Brian De Palma movie. It's Mission Impossible.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
And I realized I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And I was so young when it
yeah,
came out
totally.
And when I was watching it, because I was so young, I didn't see it in the theater, of yeah. course, but we rented it and definitely kind of that also perfect family action movie where I didn't know anything that was going
totally,
on, but the
yeah.
thrill is very translatable
yeah.
to all ages.
It's really fun. Like, you don't really need to understand the plot for it to be engaging.
No.
And I would say that for all of these films.
Yeah, that is absolutely, because the plots are like absolutely undecipherable.
I am so, okay, so. So over Sunday and yesterday, Memorial Day, I rewatched Dead Reckoning Part 1 and
yes.
Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Went backwards
yeah.
from seeing
yep,
the new
totally.
One. And after we watched Fallout, Chris put on a podcast about it while he was showering. And the guys on the podcast were like, I didn't know what was going on at all in the plot. And I felt such a sense of relief because I never knew.
You don't need to know.
I frankly can't stand that criticism of
yeah.
these movies.
No, it's not a good criticism.
Because no, yeah. it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
It's the most boring take to me is to talk about the plot of the Mission Impossible movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we went into Final Reckoning, we were talking about how long this movie is, right?
Yeah.
The 3 hour.
Yeah, it's like fully
movie.
Almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
First of all, flies by.
Oh, yep. yeah.
Second of all, what's the plot?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Irrelevant.
I know what I came for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They are genre films at the end of
yeah,
the day.
Totally.
So you're there for that level of entertainment.
Well, I had seen parts of the first Mission Impossible on TV as a kid because it was kind of ubiquitous and impossible
Ooh,
mission
impossible not to, say
to
word.
Avoid. but I had not seen any of them in full until Fallout came out. And
wow.
we saw it at the
wow.
drive-in.
Yes, I
and
remember.
It was the second movie. And I remember, I can't remember what the first movie was, but we watched it and I was like, oh, I'll probably stay for like 20 minutes and then leave because it was really late and I haven't seen any Mission Impossible movies. I got so locked in, even though obviously the plot is insane. And
no,
I was like,
no,
I don't know
insane.
What's going on. I don't know who any of these people are. It does
yeah.
not matter. I was so, like, absolutely thrilled and riveted. I
yeah.
stayed for the entire movie. And I was like, this is amazing.
It's
this
all
is
about
so
the
good.
Tension. It's all
yeah.
about, like, sure, the plots are confusing, but they're also kind of thrilling in their,
totally.
Like, proposed complexity,
yeah.
which is exciting. Like, I like... all of that still feels like meat on the bone.
Absolutely.
Like that it's
oh,
very,
yes. oh, yeah.
yeah, rewatching Fallout being like
what is going on
we're,
with these
plutonium? We're trading a man, like an international criminal for some stolen plutonium.
Yep.
Uh-oh, that's all part of the international criminal's plan.
Yeah, totally.
In order to, like.
Right, for what reason?
Yeah.
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 There's so many characters. You're like, it doesn't matter. I just know that you're hot and you're in a really cool fight scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Even though, like, it's part of the beloved plot that every opening is your first mission, should you choose to accept
right.
it. Ethan Hunt gets his message. And even in those messages where they're explaining the initial mission, I get lost.
You're like, I don't know.
like, I don't,
you're saying so many words.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I saw the original Mission Impossible, 1996, mm-hmm. in theaters.
Incredible.
In Hudson.
Oh my God,
what?
This
is why you're here. This is why you're here.
But I saw it in, I think... at what is now Spotlight, but it could be what is now Story Screen.
Yeah, totally.
I know. I wonder.
Memory. Yeah.
Might have been where Story Screen is now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Might
I don't know.
Been.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's
and,
so exciting.
And I had just kind of gone through my movie awakening in 1995 is what I consider my movie awakening.
Beautiful.
When I rented in the same weekend The Usual Suspects in Seven.
Oh my God.
Huge.
Yeah. So
huge
that,
weekend
that,
for Chuck.
That changed
oh
my like perspective on what cinema could be.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then Mission Impossible, I remember being aware, of course, of Tom Cruise, but
right.
96, huge year for Tom.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, then Jerry Maguire.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Back to back. And I know that I saw Jerry Maguire because I remember having seen it when Cuba Gooding Jr. did the backflip at the Academy Awards,
yes,
accepting his Oscar
iconic.
First.
That's so cool.
So I have, first, I did digging on Rotten Tomatoes. I have the percentages of every Mission Impossible film here. Can you guess what the lowest percentage tomato meter Mission Impossible is?
Are we talking
excluding two? Because
I know nobody likes two, which they're wrong.
Which we'll get. We'll really get into two soon. In my opinion,
two is like
I mean, it's the outlier. It's different from all the others.
It almost killed the franchise.
Is this the audience or critic score?
This is the critic score.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Low, like, but tomatometer.
You say tomatometer, I say tomatometer.
I'm going to say, and this includes three?
This includes all
of them.
One through eight,
except for two.
Number one.
Number one is the lowest rated of all of the movies. Yeah,
that's I would have said three. Yeah.
So I wonder if it was because it was butting up against people being familiar with the TV show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it is also...
Well, the TV show stopped airing 23 years prior to the movie coming out.
Yeah,
but the reruns had been on air. I was aware that this was a series, I remember.
I do think
I didn't know until recently.
Critics didn't really like Brian De Palma.
Yes, that is true.
And I do also think that Mission Impossible has such a camp energy to it, especially by the end of the first one. Although I think genuinely the first one is like actually a really tight thriller. Like I go to bat for it. I think it's great.
But
I
it does like still have that campiness movie. That you're talking about, which is actually kind of sweet going back in these rewatches after seeing the new one or any of the more recent ones. You're like, oh, it's kind of always stayed true to its form.
Totally. Yes. And that's, I feel like maybe when it first came out, that wasn't known about it. Like now we have this understanding of Mission Impossible and what it's doing, whereas then it was like, oh, this is like a tight thriller by Brian De Palma, but like it sucks. Like I can imagine what people would say, even though they're wrong. I think they're wrong, to be clear.
I have a quote. So first of all, 1996, same year that Kingpin came out.
Yes. Just to orient you in the context of
going
in
order
movie
of
landscape.
The movies that came out in 1996.
It was such a solid gold year.
I have a quote from David Denby, from New York Magazine from 1996. Denby, not a critic I'm very familiar with, but definitely...
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he's a New Yorker critic. And here's a quote. Big budget American movies have reached such a weightless state that technique has now been entirely separated from meaning. And even from garden variety plausibility, the excitement of Mission Impossible vanishes before you reach the lobby.
Wow, that's wild. They didn't know what was coming.
So there is like that critique you're talking about where like they're like, well, where's the substance?
Right.
Yeah, it's like top five movies of 1996.
Yes.
Independence Day, Twister, Mission Impossible, The Rock, Nutty Professor.
Wow.
You have to go until number 55 on the list of best performing movies to find a sequel. In this year.
That's so
and
crazy.
And it is Father of the Bride 2. The next sequel is 77. It's Mighty Ducks 3. And those are the only two sequels on the entire top 100 list of movies. So like, Denby, no idea what's coming for him.
He has no idea. I mean, that's the thing that is like fascinating to read. Like when you read film criticism from before 2005 and it's like, you guys didn't know.
You didn't know
what was coming. Like, the movie landscape that we live in now is so different. And, like...
And so many... I mean, like, a ton of Brian De Palma movies get their value in their age. Like, as they exist in the world longer and more respect is given to genre films in general. For what they're... I mean, like, judging... the Mission Impossible movies with like a horror movie lover's eye.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like
it's the understanding genre as a true, like another form of cinema and like thinking about the tools that genre filmmakers use as equally as valid as like any other film, like a drama, you know? It is, you know, God, we had it really good then, but also what did the critics know? You know, what did they know?
It's a new kind of storytelling where, like, there is less of a focus on story, I guess you could say. Right. But it's storytelling is entertainment.
But it's fascinating because I do think the original Mission Impossible, like, has a lot of interesting things going on.
It does.
The tightest story probably of all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there's not, it doesn't have that many, like, crazy action set pieces. No. Instead, it's like, it is kind of about, like, the pathos of Ethan Hunt losing his entire team.
Yeah. And, like, that, you know, the hanging from the ceiling in the room is very cool. You know, one of the best scenes from all of these movies.
Absolutely.
Amazing in the moment. Yeah. To just be like, you know, this vanishes before you reach the lobby.
Like, really? He's also wrong.
He's so wrong.
Like, that looms so large in, like, cinema history. Like, we think about it all the time.
It's incredible. And, like, all the things that have come from that, like, because they were able to do it at all.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise doing it from the beginning. Earlier, I was asking, I was like, Jenny, was he always doing his own stunts? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I did not do the research. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
He's always been a lunatic. The first one.
Yeah, totally.
He's always been crazier and crazier.
Though. Right. He's just has less and less of a fear of death. Yeah. The older he gets.
Yeah.
It's interesting looking at the tomatometer ratings is that, you know, culture kind of, or the critics, came to love these movies. So it goes in order 1 through 8, 65, 57, 73. So mm-hmm. that's 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And it's 94, 94, 98, 96.
Yes.
80.
They start. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's the last one.
Which is
people don't like it that much, which I think is
the
crazy.
Most boring opinion I've ever heard.
Yeah. So that's for Dead Reckoning Part One.
The Final Reckoning. Before we went to see it, I saw a bunch of, like, middling reviews, and I was like, uh-oh.
I know.
What's the deal with that?
A lot of people that I follow, quote-unquote, on Letterboxd.
Quote-unquote people.
A lot of three-star reviews.
Same. What I took from that before we saw it was that people have a hard time with the first hour being, like, exposition-heavy and also edited really weird.
That's what I was going to guess is because it is heavy-handed, but again, I feel like these movies set up that language well enough, and I'm like, you know what you're getting.
This is the final chapter of these movies. Yeah. Maybe let's walk through where we came from, where, you know, I didn't have a problem with that.
It felt really appropriate for a movie called The Final Reckoning to me, where it's like, it's using different language. Like, it is trying, I mean, it's using the same language in the sense that it is that same kind of, like, long exposition setup where it's like your mission should you choose to accept it with a lot of information that does not matter.
Yeah.
But I felt like part of the purpose of it was to, like, we're tying up the franchise. We're, like, ending the series in, like, in a nice clean place. And, like, that is, maybe it doesn't make for the most, like, I don't know. Like, obviously there's an amount of, like, walking with it you have to do.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is the project of this movie.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
You have to know what you're going into. I mean, again, even rewatching, I hadn't rewatched any of them, and then rewatching Fallout. I mean, I just kept thinking what perfectly simple action movie scripts these are.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like, they tell, in the beginning third of the movie, they tell you multiple times in exposition scenes what's going on because the team's getting together and you have to re-explain it to everybody. Yep. Like, Ilsa Faust is here now. Listen, girl, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And, but it's, I know what I'm doing, and that's fine. Like, this is exactly what I signed up for. I'm also confused. Tell me again what's going
on. Exactly. I'm like, this I don't know what the heck is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a perfect action movie script.
I also, like, didn't feel the time at all. I know you mentioned this earlier, but it was so, I was a little nervous about how long The Final Reckoning was, and then I was like, it flew by.
So easy.
It was amazing.
The middling reviews had me and I for the life of me, could not believe that these people were correct.
Yeah.
That there was going to be...
Like, I don't think they're right.
That there was going to be a Mission Impossible movie that came out that I didn't love, didn't really seem...
Like, there's no way.
Possible.
Yeah.
No.
It seemed impossible. It's impossible.
Well, and because I know who's behind the helm, and it's Tom Cruise, and if this indeed is... Even if it's not the last one, but if it indeed is, he's going to give us a show.
Yeah, he's not...
Like, that's what he's setting out to do.
He's asking us to trust him one last time, and he's not going to let it come out bad.
No.
He's not going to do that.
So let's talk about the new thing Tom Cruise has done. We saw Top Gun Maverick together at the drive-in.
We sure did.
We did not see Dead Reckoning together, but this is now, I think this is the third movie where he has the direct to audience thank you for coming address. Oh my God.
It's just, okay, I guess, yeah, we got
to
talk about
Mr. Movies.
About
it's time
guy.
To talk about the president
I
of
mean,
movies.
Just, again, he has been, not that I ever had any strong opinions, terribly strong opinions against Tom Cruise, but my word, has he endeared himself
yeah.
to me.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Just, yeah, the messages before saying thank you for coming to a theater to see this movie. So many people are involved in making a movie. That also feels really special because yeah. there's, I feel like there is so much invisible labor in making
yes,
a movie.
Absolutely. And I also feel like, obviously he's not the director of these movies, but I feel like we do really live in a period where we are really leaning into like the auteur theory of cinema, where like the director makes everything, makes every single choice. And like, we yeah. really credit movies to the director. Like, that's just kind of something that we do as like film people and people who are watching movies and thinking about them.
Certainly.
And I do really feel like his insistence on crediting the entire team
yes.
and like making it feel very, which like, again, we're talking about this from the viewer's perspective. So like, you know, call in if you've worked on a Tom Cruise movie.
But, the lines are open.
The lines are open. What's the phone number? I'm not sure.
I can't remember right now.
But it just, it does feel really, there's something really special about that where it is like, yeah, film is, it's a job. It's the same as anything else where
yes.
it takes hundreds of people to make it work.
Especially when you're making blockbusters,
yeah,
a movie
absolutely.
Like that, it takes so many people. Yeah. He's reminding you to read the liner notes. Like,
yeah.
yes, of course.
I'm going to watch the credits.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. I
and
will.
You're yeah. Like you said, we're, you attach movies to a director, like, oh, I'm going to watch somebody's filmography, but reminding you that, yeah, it's the cinematographers, it's the special effects guy. There's
yeah.
all of these people's careers you can follow and
the
all the work
that they
do.
Clipped all his carabiners to the plane.
Yeah.
That was, a really important guy, whoever clipped all his carabiners.
I know. Whoever trained him to
yeah.
fly a helicopter.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
Absolutely
I
wild.
Know.
Ugh.
I know.
Risking life and limb for our entertainment, and thank God. we're so lucky.
I was reading the IMDb trivia for Mission Impossible 2 before you got here. And where is it? Yeah, Tom Cruise lied to the movie's insurance agents, saying that he would be letting the stunt crew handle all the major action set pieces. And he did 95% of his own stunts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Amazing.
Yeah. I feel like it makes so much sense, too, again, with the jumping on the couch moment. Like, this guy's lust for life.
Yeah, totally.
He wants to feel it all.
Yeah, he does. It's wild. It's
and
really
he,
wild.
He, the movies, obviously, are so important to him. And that's something that I love, because movies are important to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That's why we're here.
Movies are important to you. They're important to me. And I think it's so cool to just put yourself out there and being, like, be a ambassador for cinematic experiences.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is really, I don't know, hit me in a way that I wouldn't have, I don't know if it would have when I was like, I don't know, 20 or something.
Right.
But like at this age when, you know, there is, seems like there's always the threat of maybe this won't happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that, you know, he is like, I am dedicated to making sure this keeps happening for you all.
Yeah.
And that impacts me.
Yeah. It brings a tear to my eye, especially with what he's peddling is real movie magic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I am seeing things in the movies that he's bringing us that I will never see.
Right. Yeah. We're not watching just some CGI stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. FCC compliant.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, fake versions of himself. Like, I was thinking, what is another franchise series, Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has had almost Vin Diesel in almost every one of them.
Yeah,
aside
you know, he's in all.
He's in
Tokyo
all of them.
Drift, basically.
No, he's he makes an appearance at the end.
In Tokyo
Drift. He's at the
okay.
end.
Okay.
Don't worry. Don't worry, he's at the end.
I don't get me wrong, I enjoy the Fast films.
It's different.
They're
I love
different.
Them.
So different, so different.
They have also, like, my strong and enduring love for the Fast franchise is, like, they've really... Fast X was a real disappointment, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that was kind of my fear with The Final Reckoning. When
yes.
I saw these negative reviews, I was like, oh, God,
are we getting a Fast X
on our hands? But it's like, no, because Tom Cruise is so dedicated to making... like a perfect
Charlize Theron is like, I saw death And then Jason Momoa like pops his head around the corner and goes, "Spaghetti!"
Such a bummer. It's such a bummer.
And it's like they're part of the reason why the like honestly, 9's not that good either. 9 and 10 were both kind of a bummer. It was like the CGI is really intense.
Yes, yeah,
especially
exactly.
in Fast X. Like exactly. it's so intense yeah. and like feels so like bad to watch.
And that
like,
that is one of the things that I really think differentiates the Mission Impossible movies yes. from almost every other movie that's yeah. out there is that the CGI is I know it's probably there. It's got
to
be there.
It's invisible.
Of course.
To
but yeah. it's used to like enhance and help. I right. mean, like right. all of the movies that have the special effects that hold up the best, like right. Jurassic Park, yeah. where
totally.
You're using it so sparingly. You're using it for just the things that you absolutely cannot do. But
right. it's like changing the sky. Like Tom Cruise is still jumping out of the airplane, but it's like they're going to CGI like the storm in that he's jumping yes. into in Fallout. But
exactly.
like he's still doing that crazy jump. Like the jump yeah. is real. And like that's the thing that you see and you feel and you're like, oh my God, I'm really worried about this guy. Yeah. Is this how we find out that he died? Like
you gotta, I mean, I just wonder how many things like this we're going to get in our lifetime because it seems to rely on one wild
yes,
person.
Absolutely.
I mean, not unlike, like I remember when the third Dark Knight movie mm-hmm. came out, mm. whatever it's
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. The plane sequence in the beginning
yeah.
is real.
It's real.
And so like,
Nolan's
yeah,
crazy
like,
also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like we got people like Chris Nolan also,
lunatic,
just
yeah.
nutty.
Yeah.
And I don't, want to believe that it takes somebody who's completely off their rocker to make these things?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that, like, obviously the spectacle of these, like, wild stunts is part of what draws us in, but it's also, like, it's because so many other movies that don't even have wild stunts but are just using CGI for, like, the most mundane stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's, like, also really distracting, and it just feels like you're watching slop. Like,
yeah.
it feels terrible
yes.
to look at because well, you know it's not real.
Right?
And, like, it doesn't have to be a wild stunt. It could just be, like, when you watch something and they're on real sets
yes.
and it feels so good because you're like, I know that that building's real.
Yeah.
I know it's real.
I know
oh
that they're
God.
In Rome or Paris.
Yeah.
Right.
Or,
and
yeah.
that is
yeah.
part of the magic of the Mission Impossible.
Yeah. I know. And we got so used to living in this kind of post-Marvel world.
Yeah.
Like our big blockbusters
yes. yeah.
being everyone's just in a green screen
yeah.
sound studio.
No one is anywhere real.
No. I mean, God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Do you guys have a favorite in the series?
I think that my favorite is Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol.
Okay, so I haven't been able to rewatch it yet. I'm not worried about spoilers from you guys. So
on my recent rewatch, I was like, Ghost Protocol is kind of lower on my list.
If I had to think I have such a difficult time choosing between 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, they all have like a lot in common. 5 and 6 are my fave.
Yeah, and I think 6 is the best, probably.
Fallout.
Fallout is actually my favorite. Yeah,
it's so good.
Because it was the first one that I like saw in full, which I think is like, I did also see a tweet recently, not to keep citing tweets, that was like, your favorite Mission Impossible movie is the one you watched most recently.
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but rewatching 3 just a few nights ago, I think made me realize why 4 is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because this is the one where Tom Cruise discovers like his teeny comedic sensibilities.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is. It's like
he's
the introduction
good.
Of the Looney Tunes vibe. Yeah.
yeah. And he's these little facial, like he's so good with his face.
Yeah.
And the best actors are. But like I think about when they are, I don't know how well you remember Ghost Protocol. They are going into the hotel room and he has like the goggles that he pulls out of his pocket and the bodyguards or whoever, and he's just like and it's so crisp
God,
and funny.
So funny.
And
yeah.
so I think 4 is when they figured out how to get the right sprinkle of humor.
Yeah.
Sprinkle
That's
is the
really
perfect
true.
Term for it too. They're so smart with
yeah.
it because they don't try to push any of these actors to do more comedy than
no.
they're capable
no, no, no.
of, you know?
But you're right. It is like those little moments, and 4 does have so many of those little moments. Like, I just rewatched it, but there's that when he's on the outside of the Burj Khalifa and he, yeah. doesn't have enough line to get all the way down to the room where he's supposed to be. And I think it's Benji or somebody else goes, your line's too short. Or maybe Jeremy Renner.
Yeah,
and he's
Renner.
Like, you think? And it's really, it's really funny.
The in Fallout, when they're in the like the little Fiat chase scene and it tumbles down the stairs and they're cuffed to each other and they've switched seats and they both like the car stops reckoning. Falling and they look at each other. It's so good. Yeah.
I know. I watched Dead Reckoning Part 1 last night and it was like,
that is Dead Reckoning.
I know that they're funny, but it is like always crazy to me how much I'm laughing out loud while watching them. Like, they're so funny. Yeah. It is such a, like, you're right. Like, 4 is when they really embrace the like Looney Tunes. Tom Cruise is like bouncing around. And he also, I mean, I think that's part of what's compelling, which is kind of something that's been cited with like John Wick, is like part of what's interesting about John Wick is how tired he gets and like he's like, you know, doing these fights while he's exhausted. And I feel like you also are getting that with Ethan Hunt, where like he's bouncing off of stuff and like messing up and like you know, it's by sheer force of like will and luck that he manages to survive.
Oh, how much luck is in them and how aware they are, how much they talk about it is so good.
Yeah, totally.
It's so good.
Incredible.
I know, I wonder, and so I haven't rewatched 3, so maybe this is incorrect, but I'm wondering too, like you're saying, 4 is where it really finds its stride, and then maybe 1 through 3 is, you know, they're like, okay, we have a franchise on our hands. What are we going to have each of these different directors bring to it? Because 2 feels extremely John
it's
Woo.
So John Woo.
We
it's,
got
which
Doves.
Is so
it's a bullet ballet.
One.
Yeah. I get why it wasn't successful, even though me rewatching it, I loved it because it felt like such a relic of its time to the exploding Oakleys in the beginning.
So good.
I mean, he gets his first message, like his mission, should he choose to accept it, through a video in Oakley sunglasses,
oh,
and then he takes them off, throws them at the camera, and they explode.
And then
credits.
Cue the Limp Bizkit version of the Mission Impossible song.
God.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
It's the first movie that Metallica ever wrote a song for. Is what the IMDb trivia says.
So it's like, you're so right, because it is like 1, 2, 3 all feel so specific to the director who made them.
Yeah, like what is this franchise going to be every time a new director does it?
Right, totally.
Well, there's 6 years between 2 and 3.
Right, which is also
which is crazy for a franchise. And I think it's because they're like, yeah, what you're saying, we'll have a different director do this every time. And then 2 is such a
it's a weird one.
A bad movie.
Big swing. Whoa.
I don't know.
It's
in the cultural. I've not seen it since it was in theaters.
You're due for a rewatch.
It's almost
time for
like
the fourth of Blue Live
for like
you.
A Batman and Robin to me, kind of like I was so into these Batman movies, and then you just gave me Batman. That felt the same way. I was like, Mission Impossible is so good, and this is going to be so good. I kept seeing him hanging from this cliff.
The rock climbing is absolutely wild. How good
can it get?
Yeah.
And it's just, that's the opening credits. And I don't know. I remember being quite let down, but
it feels extra colorful in that. And I mean, I guess they all do in that way, where that's it. They're so close to this kind of comic book largeness.
Yeah, like, totally.
Is there a love interest in 2?
Yeah, it's Tandy Newton.
See, that is the other thing, that there is never a love interest again. In
okay, I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this.
It.
Somebody over the weekend, Chris's friend Tim was like, Ethan Hunt is asexual.
I think he's
and
right.
I believe.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
It's absolutely correct. I think Ethan Hunt loves the ladies, but in a way where he like, He loves
he
and wants to protect
them.
Ladies.
Yeah.
because he loves all of his friends.
Yeah. No, they're like an other, like the first movie's the only one. I mean, I haven't rewatched Mission Impossible 2 in a second, but like 1 and 2 feel like the only ones where he maybe has sex sometimes.
I don't think that there is a love interest in 1.
I mean, it's not a love interest, but like he has like, he just is more like a regular person in that one.
Yeah.
Versus.
And 2
post,
is sexy.
2 is sexy.
Yes, 2 is
versus
very,
everyone, after that.
The cars are spinning.
Yeah.
They're giving sex looks at each other.
And then they kiss.
And they kiss. And
all
yeah,
the
he
cars
doesn't.
Are spinning?
Almost.
because there are something that is kind of interesting is like there are some kind of complicated female characters in the Mission Impossible franchise, which is like not always the case in these big movies.
It's usually not.
But they're like entirely sexless. Like even his relationship with Ilse Faust, who I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
It's like, it does, like they don't ever kiss.
No. And I love
I know.
That.
I do too.
Love
it's that. Like kind of amazing.
I love it so yeah. much. And yeah. that is, it is off-putting in two. And again, because I haven't rewatched 3, 4, 5. I don't remember if there was any.
There's no kissing.
But
no. There's no I love, inkling.
Yeah. Like I Rebecca love Ferguson like that. Has her like long, gorgeous legs out, but like we're yeah. not doing anything
no.
to them.
No.
We're just looking. No. I'm looking at them.
I think Ethan
I'm
Hunt loves beauty and yeah. he wants to protect beauty.
Yeah.
In
he's
all
a noble
ways.
Guy. Yeah.
Is Tom Cruise asexual? Could be a question. Because I mean
the ongoing question.
I think he might be. I would also believe it.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating to think about. I do love that he and Chris McQuarrie are like partners.
Yes.
And it's like I know that he'll say like my partner, and I know he means my producing partner, but I'm like, say more.
What do you
your
mean?
Life partner? Do
yeah.
Because it does really feel like actually a match made in heaven where like the two of them are, you know, just matching each other's freak, as we say.
Yeah.
Two crazy kids in love.
Has he transcended like earthly pleasures?
It
you know,
feels
you know
that
what
way,
I mean?
Right?
Like
it
SEX.
Kind of feels like his the only way he has SEX is by jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, like
right
I don't
now.
Think he
that's the greatest
really
thrill
necessary.
Of his life is actually just defying death.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, after you've done those stunts, you gotta wonder.
I bet he's seen heaven before.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That guy's definitely had some near-death experience. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're not entirely... So in 3, you know, he is getting
married.
He's married.
Yeah, totally.
So it's
to Michelle Monaghan, who's just, like, not
very
in these
strange.
Movies. She's
very
just
strange.
Not in
yeah.
these movies.
No.
But so that's not... I wouldn't call it a love interest, but they definitely, after 2, were like, how do we reboot this franchise? Like,
right.
how do we make this happen again? We can't just... start up like one like and so we need to make the stakes personal,
right?
And that's in a weird way why it seems off, because
yeah.
like the stakes should it seems strange for the stakes to be personal.
Yeah, he's just not yeah. He's not a person, like only
yeah.
in the first movie
exactly.
does he ever seem like a person, and even in that one it is like he still feels like an archetype of a you know, a guy who's dangling from the
and
ceiling.
And he's good at everything. Yeah.
And he's really good at everything.
He's
like
a superhero.
Right. And like part of what's compelling about him is that he has these errors where things don't go quite right, but he's still like an agent of chaos.
Yeah.
And like,
yes.
you know, they start to describe him as essentially a demigod like
yeah.
later in the series, which is true. Like he is just, he's inexplicably achieving things that no one should achieve.
Well,
and it is like, yeah, he doesn't have these earthly connections other than to his friends who he cares the most about.
So much
yeah.
about,
you know,
is it in Fallout where they're describing why they're really him and Michelle Monaghan's relationship didn't work out?
Yeah.
And they're like, because she would worry and they would both worry that if they were together, like when the world might end.
Right, they're
something.
Like seeing bad things happen in the world, and he's like, I should be there helping. And she's like, yeah, you should.
I know.
You
and
should
the
be
scale
there helping.
Of it, too, being like, yeah, the world might actually end
if
you're
Ethan
distracted
there.
By me, your wife.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. He is like, he really
yeah.
has the burden of the entire earth on
he
his
does.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
He's keeping us all alive.
So I stand for 4.
Yeah, I love that.
You're 6?
Fallout is my favorite, but Rogue Nation's a close second.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
I can't make an educated answer right now, not having rewatched all of them. Fallout is definitely 6 is
it's
probably
so
really
good.
Up there.
It's so
rewatching
good.
The first one was just so fun.
I genuinely love the first,
love the
one.
First one.
I feel like
love
a lot
it.
Of people don't kind of ride for it, but I genuinely think it's a great movie.
It is. It's
yeah.
a great movie.
It's so fun. It yeah, it does feel like the like it feels like the first one of the series where
yeah.
you can it makes sense why it went from where it started to where it is now.
Yeah.
It's like a not watered down version, but a pared down, a simplified
yeah.
version. The stunts are still amazing.
Yeah.
But we haven't yet tried to continue to up the ante.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like the action scenes are not as interesting in that other than, of course, the ceiling
right.
drop.
Yeah.
But like.
The channel. Yeah,
that's true. The channel's pretty fun.
Oh, the channel's fun. I mean, the bead of sweat
yes.
so
on
good.
The floor.
Yes.
It's not just the dangling. It's
right.
the alarm system.
It's so true.
It's like...
But it's
so,
also... It's so well shot. Like, it has that Brian De Palma sauce. Like, there's
yeah.
so many, like, fun split diopters in it. And, like, it's just, like,
so
it looks
fun.
Great. Like, it's a great-looking movie.
And all the fun little touches that lead up to it. Like, her pen squirting the stuff in
yeah.
his drink.
Yeah.
And the teeny little tracking device.
Yeah.
And, like, That's the magic that I think these movies often have, mm-hmm. is these like fun little spy devices.
Yeah, gadgets. Yeah. That's going to get like the James Bond generation yes. in on it. And then also everybody else because it's so fun.
It's so fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Tom Cruise hired Brian De Palma.
Oh.
Go off.
Was met him at a party, went like home and watched all of his movies.
Wow.
And then... was like, I want that guy.
I mean, he was right. I mean, I can really imagine that because it is like, this is like post blowout and body double.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this dude is making like incredible, like paranoid thrillers.
Especially like, post blowout. Yeah. It makes a lot of
totally.
Sense. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know.
Favorite scene.
Oh, do you mean favorite stunt or favorite scene?
Or scene, set piece, stunt, however you want to think
really
of
good
it.
Question.
Yeah. I think that, and I don't want to say the word objectively.
But you are.
I think the final stunt
yes.
in
yes.
The Final Reckoning is
it's the best stunt in any of the movies.
It's the highest ante,
yes.
if you will.
It's
yeah.
unbelievable.
And gorgeously shot.
It looks so good.
Just like, absolutely so stunning.
Which is, what's so insane is being able to shoot that at all well.
Yeah.
Totally.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that is like part of what's so exciting about the stunts is that like not only are they real, but also like they are shot so well.
Yeah.
Like there's so many like behind the scenes images of Tom Cruise with like a camera strapped to him.
Yeah.
But then also like whoever is jumping with him is also taking incredible footage.
Amazing.
Like it's great.
I think that is the best stunt.
So taking that off the table then.
Okay.
I love having just rewatched it. I mean, oh my God. I was like about to pick one and then I was like, but what about? But I'm going to choose two.
Okay.
I love the train scene at the end of Dead Reckoning Part One.
Yes.
Because I think it's such a
incredible.
Fun, like.
Incredible.
That's like super Looney Tunes.
Yes.
It is. I forgot about the going through the dining
it's
car.
It's so good. With like the bubbling oil.
It's amazing.
It's an incredible scene.
And then like not like super stunty, but just like a straight up fight scene. I love the bathroom fight scene in Fallout.
It's incredible.
So I think about it literally all the time.
I think that's a top contender for like incredible fight choreography.
Yes. It's so good.
Like think about the other fight scene in a movie, grisly fight scene that I love in a bathroom is the steam room one in Eastern Promises.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's very
yeah.
gross
yeah.
and nasty,
yeah.
but like,
oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like a similar.
Yeah. Vigo.
Yeah.
Like the stakes
bathroom
feel so
fight.
Need I say more.
Yeah.
Just like tile everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's something else.
They're just destroying everything. Henry Cavill's recharging his arms. Like
I
think about it literally like every day.
It's
always at the top
no,
of my
you're
mind.
So, I'm going to copy you on that one too. This isn't a favorite, but I do just want to bring it up in two because I just rewatched
yes.
it. Toward the end, there's some motorcycle scenes. Like he and the bad guy.
Anytime
they're
on a
speeding
motorcycle.
Toward each other, like playing chicken almost, speeding toward each other on motorbikes, and you're like, what's going to happen? They both just jump off and slam into
it's
each other
so
midair.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
John
and
I love John Woo rules, dude.
They just grapple each other midair before they fall to the ground.
I mean, like, anytime Tom Cruise is on a motorcycle, he's not wearing a helmet, and I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
Never got a helmet on.
No, I'm so stressed out.
I think I put the opera scene in Rogue Nation near the top of my
it's
list.
So
I love
good.
The choreography of that scene a lot. And a bit of a deep cut, it's not like a full action scene or anything, is just the scene in the Kremlin.
Oh, yeah.
When they are pushing that...
In Ghost Prout.
Four. When they are pushing that giant screen through the hallway.
Yeah.
It's just the imagination behind that technology is
yes.
so cool.
Oh,
that, like,
it's coming back
oh,
to you.
Oh, I'm just remembering.
Yeah. They're like tracking this guy's eyes. They've got it. Like, it's just,
it's
very,
so
it's like
fun.
Combo of analog and digital. It's really cool. I love that scene a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, so much of the fun, memorable scenes are, I mean, it still involves stunts, but have to do with all the exciting gadgets,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
Or even just the thrill of any of the diffusing bombs, the one in the airport
yeah,
with
so
Simon
fun.
Pegg running through the baggage claim, which
God, it's so
just
good.
Immediately makes me think about how I would love to you know, see how the sausage is made in the airport.
I want to get back there. I want to see those, bags, those bags on those conveyor belts.
I want to go through people's bags.
So fun. I know the whole airport sequence is so fun.
The guy disappearing in real time in the sunglasses. Totally. So scary.
Shea Whigham being like, he's got to be around here somewhere. And Tom Cruise is running on the roof behind him. It's so good.
Incredible.
It's like unbelievably fun. God, these movies, they're just great.
I know. I'm so lucky that I didn't actually rewatch all of them, and I get to
it's keep such doing a treat.
That. I mean, I get to rewatch them for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was so fun to leave The Final Reckoning with you guys and be like, I can't wait to go home and watch Fallout. Like, I'm so lucky.
Do you think that other people in the theater were mad at us for making such
reactions?
I don't think so either.
We were
because
not being over the top.
No, we were
disruptive. Think so either.
We were just getting really excited when something would happen. Then we'd go, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. I did not call very many people on my phone. No.
I wasn't scrolling Facebook for more than like 10
my mom
minutes.
And camming the movie. But, I mean, and also, how fun is it to go to a theater with an audience that is reactive?
Fun. Yeah.
It
makes such a difference.
I mean, this is why we go back to the movies, because Tom Cruise told us to.
Exactly.
And when we go, we're like, this is...
Especially a genre movie like this. Like, I love seeing, like, a horror movie in a packed theater, and I feel the same way about an action movie. Like, it's not, you know, it's not like we're going to go see, you know, it's not like we were seeing The Brutalist or something, you know? Like, we weren't at, like, a three-hour drama.
I've been watching The Brutalist in 8 to 10 minute increments. Because Ellen refuses to watch it with me.
And
so I'm just like... 47 minutes into this movie, and it's been like 7 viewings so far.
It's like the first hour and a half are like the best part. Like,
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. No, great. It's fun.
It's a nice little every.
When we went, and I went and saw it in the theater, and we went with the built-in intermission, which I do think every movie should have.
I agree.
In the movie's
I do.
Only
I wish
long.
That The Final Reckoning had a built-in intermission. That's my one. I'll send an email to
intermission,
Tom Cruise.
That's right.
For all of us.
But when I saw people during the intermission in the movie theater showing up for another movie, everyone said, how's The Brutalist? And we said, oh, it's okay. And then, oh, how that changed in the second half.
Wow, I can't wait to hear your take when you get to
part 18.
In like 3 months when you get to the
I'll
end.
Let you know in 2027.
Yeah.
I don't want to finish up the conversation without discussing the scuba diving scene in Final Reckoning.
We should
because
talk about
you know, when... Dead Reckoning is ending, and you know they make it very well known that Tom Cruise is going
to
scuba dive
into
a submarine in this movie.
Yeah,
you sort of go, how can that be exciting? Like, what will be like?
You're like,
he went really deep.
I'm stressed out when he's in the air.
Yeah,
like, what's the deal with
scuba diving? How can that really be exciting? It is incredible how exciting they made scuba diving into
a
submarine. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, just the end of Dead Reckoning going, like, the camera going down into, you're not just underwater. We're going into a trench.
We're going deep.
Yes.
In the Arctic Ocean.
Yeah.
And I remember actually seeing it in the theater and being like, oh, that's where we're going next?
Yeah.
This is where we're going next?
It's
going
to be great.
And it's true, but, like, I think that was more than our favorite stunt, the crown jewel stunt toward the end, mm-hmm. the submarine scene,
You were stressed out.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, I think it's also because I'm so afraid of that.
That's the thing is that I was like, I know, like, I understand why you're like, submarine, who cares? Or like, scuba diving, whatever. But I'm like, I'm really scared of the ocean.
Yeah, but from a cinematic perspective, like, how are you going to make this a thriller, like an exciting scene on par with all these... motorcycle chases and, you know, skydive.
When was the last time you watched Sphere, dude? When was the last time you watched Sphere? Or The Abyss?
Not long ago.
God, it's so good. It's
but you're right,
scary.
Though. There is, like, something... it feels more... It's easier to suspend your disbelief when it's underwater.
Yeah.
It
and then,
feels... Sometimes.
I've watched some of
so.
The... They haven't really given away much making of stuff for Final Reckoning.
Yeah.
Like, with Dead Reckoning, they were like... He jumps off the motorcycle.
The
like we're releasing a 20-minute documentary about this thing before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
Like, just to,
it's like, you
like,
know
yeah.
he's but jumping they, off that cliff.
They've given us none of that for the stunts in this movie. And Tom Cruise was like, you're just going to have to see it.
Yeah.
But
I'll see you at the movies.
The gimbal that they must have built for, like, you know, the giant rotating thing that they must have built for this submarine sequence is, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever get something like this again.
It's crazy. It feels extraordinary. Yeah.
I love when whatever it is, the inside of a submarine or a sinking truck, the rotating, when it's turning and the water's filling up and you're seeing the water level shift,
it makes me want to throw
but they're
up.
Shooting it so that it, like it's a like, still shot on one person and you're just seeing the water tilt.
Oh. It's the magic of cinema.
It's really, these movies are magic. I am loath to say it because I could talk about this for another 3 hours with you guys.
I know.
Which like maybe that's what we're going to do.
We have like 60 seconds.
But it's time. Yeah, it's, you know, here
Is
we are.
Is that enough time to diffuse the bomb?
We have 60 seconds to diffuse the bomb or the world will end. This has been Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
And Chuck.
So thank happy to be Chuck's, here.
Chuck, for being here.
Got through all my notes.
Oh yeah. My God. Thank God. Honestly, what a professional. Showing up so prepared. Amanda and I never prepared.
We're never prepared. We need to have you on more often.
Truly.
To bring your notes. And also because this was an absolute pleasure.
This was fun.
If you want to listen to us again, please tune in next month. We're every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. here on WGXC. You can also listen to old shows on the archives by going to WGXC.org, and you can find the archives of all of the shows on this wonderful station.
So fun.
And you can subscribe as a podcast, which is how I listen to it.
So true. Yeah, you can add it to your podcatcher.
Yeah.
So fun.
Or Apple Podcast.
Or just, Apple. Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever the heck you have. Whatever
exactly.
You use. This has been a pleasure. Chuck will be back.
Absolutely.
In the final
the final reckoning.